Because some gifts are more evident than others. So they, all the ones that were more evident, they were moving in. And that was the first church I went to. Then it looks like as time passed by, the churches that I went to, it was, that's your telephone. I think we need to pray more in tongues and just follow what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. I don't think that God brings the Holy Spirit and takes it back and brings it. That was the Old Testament, not the New Testament. So let's refresh our knowledge of the Holy Spirit so we can concentrate on the Holy Spirit and start letting Him flow out of us. This is a river of living water that was going to be coming out of our bellies. It was the Holy Spirit. Now, God is a God of promises, and He fulfills His promises. God promises things, and when He promises this, it's going to happen. I have several scriptures here. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Hebrews 8:5-6, who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make tabernacle. For see, says he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, who was established upon better promises. This is just to show how God promises. Nehemiah 9:15, and gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us, I'm going to give you everything that I gave you today about the other sermon, I'll give you. And gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of a rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess a land which thou hast sworn to give them. And so he promised a land. He promised Jesus. Nehemiah 9:24. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduced before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands, with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. So he promised the land, and he fulfilled the promise. He gave them the land, and he helped them conquer the land. Psalms 105 says, for he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. Psalms 77, now this is just a questioning. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Jeremiah 32:42 says, for thus says the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon these people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. What I'm saying is, God is a God of promises, and he fulfilled his promises. Jeremiah 33, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Joshua 22 says, and now the Lord your God has given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return you, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side, Jordan. 1 Kings, and the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, two may live together. So what he promised Solomon, he gave Solomon. Didn't matter that Solomon afterwards got influenced by all the heathen wives he had. He promised and he gave. Now, this is a promise regarding the Holy Spirit. Joel 2:27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and no else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. That was the promise. How do we know it's a promise? Luke 24 says, Jesus speaking, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the precious possession unto the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit is a promise from God for those who believe. So we have it because God fulfills his promises. 2 Corinthians says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. So if it is a promise, it's for us. We are entitled to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the promise of a baptism of the Holy Spirit, we should not fear it. We should not fear getting another spirit. Because there are some people that are afraid of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit because maybe they'll get another spirit. And Jesus said in Luke 11, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So there's no reason to be afraid of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because when you ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or at any rate for more of the Holy Spirit, he is going to give you the Holy Spirit. No demon is going to come in. The Holy Spirit only. Now, when Jesus was baptized, Jesus did not need a baptism in water. Matthew 3:11-17 says, this is John the Baptist speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John knew that Jesus did not need a baptism of immersion in water. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, I want you to think about this. The Holy Spirit was not a dove. The people who saw this, not everybody saw this, but the people who saw this saw something that was moving like when a dove comes down. They saw something, but it was not a dove.
For me, I think it was like a cloud.
Yeah, or a light or something coming down. Now, let me ask you this question. Did Jesus need to be filled with the Holy Spirit at that point? See, when Mary became pregnant with Jesus, she went to see Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. And what happened? The baby lived. John the Baptist lived in the belly of Elizabeth when he felt the nearness of Jesus the baby in Mary's womb. That was the Holy Spirit that John the Baptist perceived. So Jesus did not need either the baptism in water or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I think that what was happening, like he said to John the Baptist, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. It was an example that he was given for the people, not only to be baptized in water, but also to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, or in the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. That baptism was necessary too, besides the baptism and immersion, the baptism of water. Because he certainly did not need any of those. Now, Jesus' both baptisms were in this order. First in water, and then almost immediately the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to see later that it's not necessary that way. You can receive the Holy Spirit, and then you can secondly be baptized by immersion. Now let's see what happened with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament times. In the Old Testament times, the Spirit of God was given to a selected few and temporarily and for a specific purpose sometimes. King Saul. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, upon Saul, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? So it just came unto him temporarily. He didn't become a prophet. He prophesied that one time. And then, again in 1 Samuel 19, and Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. They didn't become prophets. That it was just temporary. 2 Chronicles 24:20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest. which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus says God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. So the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah so that he would give that word. And now God tells Moses in Exodus 31, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and all manner of workmanship, because he had to work in the construction of the tabernacle. So he gave the Spirit of God for the particular reason of working in building the tabernacle. Numbers 24, And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to the tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. So Balaam, who was a prophet, didn't have the Spirit of God continuously. It just came upon him when it was needed. Now, New Testament times. Today, the promise of a Father is given in a permanent way. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us unless, of course, we are in sin. So, it comes with gifts and it comes with fruit. But we have to continue in holiness and abiding in the Lord. And where does the Holy Spirit come when he comes upon us? He comes into our spirit. Now, in John 14, Jesus says, These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. He says, the Father will send in my name. But in John 15, he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness. John 16 says, But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. It was necessary for Jesus to leave for the Holy Spirit to come. Luke 24. And behold, I send the promise of my Father. See, Jesus is also again calling it the promise of the Father. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, John 16, 13 says, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that if He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Here's a function of the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide us into all truth. Now, when we hear a voice speaking to us and we say, God spoke to us, it's the Holy Spirit that spoke to us. Because he says, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He's going to hear what the Father says, and he's going to tell us what the Father is saying. He is the one who tells us these things. And also, he will show you things to come, which is prophecy. So, whoever is prophesying, whoever is getting in their spirit a word for the future of something that is going to happen. It's the Holy Spirit that is telling you that. And we say, the Lord told me. Okay, we could say the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the Lord. But if we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of things, into the nuts and bolts of things, it's the Holy Spirit, the one who's talking to us. Now, another function of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon me. Casting out demons is done by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. Now let's see, what is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Does anybody already have clear what the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is? I just say what is in the Bible. In Matthew 12, it's what it says, what the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Or is not this the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And then Jesus gives him that lesson about if Satan cast out Satan. And in verse 31, he continues, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So what do you think that is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? I think this conversation came up because the Pharisees said that Jesus was casting out demons by Beelzebub. When Jesus, back here in Matthew 12:28, said, in between that, he said that he was casting out devils by the Spirit of God. He was casting out devils by the Holy Spirit. But the Pharisees came and said he cast out devils by Beelzebub. That was the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that is not forgiven. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is doing something and you say, oh, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's a demon. If it's a demon, you're fine. But if it's really the Holy Spirit, you're blaspheming. So you have to be careful. And I'm going to, let's go to the arrival of a promise. Now, the promise of the Holy Spirit, promise of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled when the Holy Spirit arrived during the Jewish feast of Pentecost, which to me, it tells me if Jesus promised he was coming back, mm-hmm. The second coming of Jesus is a promise. Holy Spirit was a promise. It came during the day of Pentecost. Jesus is going to come a day that is a Jewish feast. He's not just coming any day. He's going to come a day that is a Jewish feast. Because the Holy Spirit came in the feast of Pentecost. Now, there was a physical manifestation of fire and wind, or the sound of wind. There was no wind, it was the sound of wind.
Is it stopped?
It was the sound of wind and fire. And I believe that was a physical manifestation of a spiritual change. Large proportion spiritual change. There was a kind of change or penetration of the spiritual world or the kingdom of God into this physical realm It was an opening that provoked this noise and the fire. So, in Acts 1:4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. So here is the promise of the Father, the promise of the Father. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1:12, then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brothers of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven, the nations that they knew at that time. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together. I think the noise of the wind was heard. And they came running to that house to find out what was happening in there, this noise, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. In his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans, and how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And then they say all the parts of the world of that time that they came from, all the different languages. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? So others mocking, there's always a mocker, said, these men are full of new wine. These men are drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This was the promise that God gave through the prophet Joel. So that was how it finally came. It came in a holy day, and it came with supernatural manifestations. Now when Jesus comes, it's going to be other noises and lights and whatever. And the languages that were spoken were understood by other people. Now, let's see some of the characteristics in the New Testament. Jesus said he cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. The Holy Spirit leads us. 1 Corinthians 3, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So the Holy Spirit lives in us, and the word says that we are living temples. We are living temples. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. and we cannot defile this body. That's why I think it's so important that we eat properly. Whatever we put into our bodies has to be clean. And we need to take care of our bodies otherwise, like with exercise. We have to do everything possible in our hands to keep ourselves healthy, keep ourselves clean, whatever we can do, because our body is a temple. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not ours. This body is not ours. First Corinthians 12 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now, this says that everybody has received one Spirit. Jew or Gentile, or free or bond, your pastor has received the same Holy Spirit that you have received. I don't have 3 pounds more of the Holy Spirit than you do, or 10 gallons more of the Holy Spirit than you do. Jimmy Swaggart, the guy at Lakewood, what's his name? Austin, Joel Austin, Billy Graham, all these people have the same Holy Spirit that you all have. They don't have an extra amount. Benny Hinn has the same, if he has the Holy Spirit, it's the same Holy Spirit that you have, Everybody has one Spirit, and it's the same dose. Whatever the dose of Holy Spirit that God had for us, it was the same dose for everybody. It's not more, it's not stronger, it's the same. Whoever we are, whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." And of course, this is one scripture that is used to test the spirits. When you test the spirits, and you can use it to see what
they ask the spirit of Jesus is Lord, and if they say
yes. If a demon is manifesting that pretends to be something else, there's 3 questions that you ask that spirit to be sure that it's a demon and not something else. And I gave you the tape of angels. And those 3 questions is at the end of the tape. Did you hear the tape of angels?
No.
Okay, at the end of the tape, you have the 3 questions to test the spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. That's in Ephesians 4. Now, let's talk about the prayer language. Is that first gift, so to speak, that we see is a prayer language that was given to the people that were in the upper room. The Holy Spirit comes with that prayer language. That prayer language is not the gifts of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit that has the message in tongues, that's a separate thing. What we get is a prayer language. That prayer language can build us up. That prayer language we can use when we have to intercede and we don't know how to pray because we don't know the circumstances. We pray in our prayer language. Even in prayer language, I started doing spiritual warfare against a poster that my son had at his door. It was a poster of Darth Vader. And I was praying, and all of a sudden I started screaming in the In my prayer language, it means that poster. I know what I was saying to that poster. But I knew I was saying something really bad for that poster. I finally burned that poster. So, it's Jude 1 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So you build up yourselves praying in the Holy Ghost. Mark 16 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, what are we doing that we're not using our tongues to pray? Acts 10:45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter, when he had the ship coming down and he went with his people to, I think it was Cornelius' house, these people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit there. The Gentiles, that was the first time that Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the Jewish people were amazed that the Gentiles received the baptism. And they said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water and this should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as the sweet? So here you see it was in the reverse order. The Holy Spirit came upon them first, and then they were baptized in water. So it's not a rigid rule.
Yeah, it's funny that the Jews were amazed that the Holy Spirit was for the Gentiles, because I guess the Jews didn't know their scriptures very well. Because didn't it say in Isaiah?
Yeah, but
some things about God's
scriptures. Maybe they didn't know the scriptures very well. It was not as easy to get your scriptures. The scriptures were kept in the synagogues, in the scrolls, and it was kind of hard for people to have. You had to be rich to get one of those scrolls because they were handwritten.
Did they need to go skilled in the scriptures?
Yeah, they were supposed to be taught in school. But I think that's on one hand, you know, the scarcity of the scriptures, and the second hand, they thought that they were it. They like to think that they were the chosen of God. They are the chosen of God, but they thought that they were the only ones. And so they were amazed to see that the Holy Spirit was upon them. Now, Acts 19:1-6, there's another circumstance here. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not even heard that there's a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what word then you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism, which it was immersion. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, of Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So they were baptized with water already and never received the Holy Ghost. And this is something that you have to ask people, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If you believe, you're supposed to receive the Holy Ghost. It's the promise of God. It's for you. I mean, come and get it.
Like the Methodists think that, yeah, I have it.
No. No, it's a separate thing. See? He says, you believed. That was salvation. Then they were baptized in water. Fine, but now they needed the Holy Ghost baptism. It's very clear in there that you need the three things. Now, is it time? No.
It's 1:30.
Okay. Let me finish this about tongues, and then we're going to go to the gifts next Sunday. 1 Corinthians 14, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all speak with tongues. This is what Paul is saying. I want you all to speak in tongues. But rather than you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, except he interprets. Now, he, in the church of Corinth, it looks like everybody was speaking in tongues. They would get together and they, all they did was speak in tongues, pray in tongues, and nobody heard anything. Edifying, because they didn't understand what everybody else was saying. And he had, Paul was concerned that a visitor would come in and think that they were crazy. So that's why he said, stop all the speaking in tongues. It was not a message in tongues, it was prayer. And he said, stop that and prophesy instead, because prophesying is in language that you understand. So, he spoke a lot about that, but he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that my by my voice I might teach others, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, singing in the Spirit. I want we all to sing in the Spirit. Next Sunday, we're going to sing in the Spirit, because singing in the Spirit is of God. 1 Corinthians 14. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He sang in his language, and he sang in the Spirit. So we need to start doing that. Next Sunday, we're going to start singing in the Spirit, so get ready.
You need to help me through this.
You can sing in the Spirit.
Well, I'm not a singer to start with. I mean, I can sing in the shower. No, I'm not. You don't hear it because it's covered up with music. So I don't, and then if I sing in the Spirit, I was like, okay, do I go from E flat to A? I mean, I don't know. It's not coming out.
Okay.
Well, I gave you the same excuse last night and listened to her report.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm telling you, I'm the worst singer of everybody here. Probably everybody in your territory. I'm the worst singer. But this is what I said. God gave me these vocal cords. God gave me the sense of music, harmony, whatever you want. I don't have it, okay? That's what he gave me. But I'm going to sing to him anyway. I'm singing to him. I'm not singing for her.
But why do we have to do it in this setting?
Huh?
Why do we have to do it here? If we're going to sing to God, we can do it in our privacy of our own prayer
time.
But
it's when we come together. It sounds beautiful together. If you let the Holy Spirit sing through you. Is the Holy Spirit singing?
Just don't concentrate on yourself. Don't concentrate on where your voice should be. Just let it go. You're doing it for me.
Now this is soft or what?
No.
We're not really starting.
Whatever the Holy Spirit wants. Yes. The thing is, if you start praying in tongues, if you just start whatever you want to say, prayer or speaking in tongues or using your tongues, it doesn't matter. Just start your tongues. And when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is going to make you want to sing. And when the Holy Spirit says, start singing, you start putting music to it. And what is going to come out is what the Holy Spirit wants to come out. You're not going to be doing it. It's the Holy Spirit. So we have to yield. This is the thing, we have to yield. We are unyielding because we think, what will the people think? Now, they're going to hear me sing and they're going to laugh about it. Well, that's fine. Okay, let them laugh. Let them laugh. Let you be humiliated. Let you become humble. That's what the Lord wants you. So anyway, the Lord wants you to be broken down, humble. Because when you become meek, That's when you inherit the earth. You know, so let him, I mean, it doesn't matter how bad you sin, and it doesn't matter how much people laugh at you because of a bad way you sing, cast them out once. Cast them out once.
Worshiping spirit and truth.
Worshiping in spirit and truth.